This is an audio compilation of a four-part blog series that will help you deal with those times that you find yourself in a pit. If you'd like to read along as you listen, you can easily find the blogs on the He's So Worth It Ministry website at heisworthit.com. How to get out of our pits. I waited patiently for the Lord to help me, and He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on solid ground and steadied me as I walked along. Psalm 41:3. Are you in a pit, in a place where you are frequently or constantly in a negative frame of mind? 2020 has been one of the most difficult years I've experienced in a long time, and I know I am not alone. When I'm in a pit, I want to be rescued immediately and with one swell swoop of the Lord's hand. Don't you? And sometimes God does rescue us that way. But sometimes you and I have to patiently wait and do our part to get out of our pits. Before I go any further, I need to clarify my usage of the term pit. I am using it here broadly to include everything from severe depression to a period of sadness, discontentment, or discouragement in which you cannot seem to escape. So how do we get out of our pits? Assuming you want to. By grabbing unto Jesus our rope and holding on tight with all our might as He pulls us out. Jesus is our rope of hope. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. 1 Peter 1:3. What does that really look like in everyday life? How do you and I actually grab onto the rope of hope? First, understand that Jesus is the Word, the Logos, which basically means the whole of Scripture, its message in its entirety. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." But there's another often used Greek word, rhema, which means a specific utterance, a specific truth. And these words are alive. Jesus, the Logos, utters rhemas down to us. He speaks specific, pertinent truths which we need to hear, take hold of, that is, believe, and apply to where we are so He can pull us out. Jesus, the living Word, our living hope, is speaking living truths that will set us free. As He pulls me out of the deep mire, I hear Him speak kind words of comfort and love. I am the God of all comfort. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Encouraging, life-giving words. You can hold on. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Logical words. My truth is what will set you free. Your way doesn't work. Try it my way. Strong words. Come on, keep fighting. Keep your eyes on me, the author and perfecter of your faith. You will receive what I have promised if you don't give up. Sobering words. There's too much at stake for you to give up. Don't waste all that you have done. Don't waste this pain. Pleading words. Do it for me, out of your love for me. And whatever else I need in that moment, words. How can you hear these words for yourself? Simply by taking the time and making the effort to read and absorb God's Word for yourself. The more familiar you are with the Logos, the whole Bible, not just a few verses here and there, the more easily you will be able to hear and grab unto His rhemas, His specific truths for you and be pulled out. You and I may not be able to see Jesus now, but we can hear his pit-saving words. There may be times, though, when you need someone else to help you hear, to point out what those specific relevant truths are. That may be a friend, teacher, pastor, or even a counselor. There's no shame in that. Only be sure that their advice is biblically based. So, my friends, when you're in a pit and can't seem to get out, remember that Father God has let down a rope of hope into your dark place. He is the living word, our living hope. Grab onto him. Listen to what he is saying. He's not letting go. He won't let you down, literally, and will help you not to let go, even when it feels like you have no more strength left. Do your part, like King David, who said, "My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me." Psalm 63:8. Then you'll be able to say like him, "He has given me a new song to sing, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see what he has done and be amazed, and they will put their trust in the Lord." Are you perishing in your affliction? All of us at times find ourselves in a pit to one extent or another when we feel like we're not going to make it. Are you perishing in your affliction? You don't have to be. King David often found himself in a pit. So why could he say, "If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction"? Psalm 119:92. Isn't God's law just a set of rules, dictates and precepts spoken and written by a prophet? Just another person? Ah, but these are not just words. These, God's laws, are the very words spoken by a loving, good, and faithful God. At least 9 times in Psalm 119 alone, David expresses that he delights in God's word. He had personally experienced the faithfulness of God. He had done his part by listening, reading, meditating, and applying what God says. See Psalm 119:94. In just this one small section of Psalm 119:89-96, he says that God's word is eternal and stands firm in heaven, trustworthy because God's faithfulness endures to all generations, life-giving, unforgettable, sufficient, never lacking. Why can I, an emotional yo-yo, say, "If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction"? Because I, too, have personally experienced the faithfulness of God. I remember the first time this verse became alive to me. My husband and I were in the middle of fighting cancer, which eventually took his life. Ed was my soulmate. How could I ever live without him? But then I remembered the Lord, the countless times he had come through in the small, big, and humongous trials, of how he had always helped me and sustained me with his grace, and had even given me joy despite the pain. My God will come through again. And he has, with flying colors. He still does. Why can I say, "If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction"? Because Jesus is the word. Delighting in God's word is delighting in Jesus Christ himself. These words became alive in me because they are the living word, Christ himself. That's why I'm not perishing in my affliction. That's why you don't have to perish in your affliction either. Can you say, "If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction"? Even in the midst of whatever suffering you are currently experiencing? Are you perishing in your affliction My friends, if you cannot say this, would you like to? You can say this by getting into God's Word for yourself, not a verse here and there, but by listening, reading, studying, meditating, and applying God's Word. So, my friends, will you commit this year and choose like King David by getting into God's Word? When you do, you will find yourself delighting in God's Word and in Him, just as the psalmist had, just like I have. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Psalm 34:8. Pray along with me. Lord, I don't want to perish in my affliction, in my current suffering of... Don't let me be overtaken by seemingly countless and never-ending trials. I choose you, Jesus, the living Word. Your Word is eternal, an anchor for my soul, giving me hope not only for my future, but also in the here and now. I commit to seek you, to read your precious, life-giving words regularly, to think about them deeply so that I can apply them to my life. In so doing, I know you will prove yourself faithful and true. Then I'll be able to say and continue to say with a grateful, praising heart, because I have delighted in your word, I did not perish in my affliction. How to reduce your times in the pit. I am such an emotional yo-yo. Because of my propensity to be so easily moved by my feelings, I often find myself in or at the edge of a pit. So much so that Psalm 40:1-3 has become one of my life passages. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And He has put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. The Lord impressed upon me to memorize and meditate on these three verses, to get them inside of my core being, early on in my Christian walk. He knew how vital that would be for my well-being. He didn't want me to live in a pit, even more than I did. I can still quote it verbatim 30-plus years later. Why am I telling you all this? Because whether or not you are very emotional like me, you will find yourself in dark periods at times in your life. I'm here to help you know how to get out, and better yet, prevent you from falling in. I want to reduce your times in the pit. The key is in your relationship with God and His Word. Getting deep into God's Word will keep you from falling deep into a pit. At the very least, you'll be able to come out quicker, not lose hope, not perish in your affliction, and not waste your pain. The Lord always uses the difficulties of life for a good purpose. Perhaps He's teaching us to rely solely on Him. Sometimes He may even allow us to stay in the dark longer because He's doing something that cannot be accomplished in any other way. During those times when you find yourself teetering on the edge of a pit, here are some practical tips to keep you from falling in. Note, many of these can also be used while you're in a pit. Cry out to God at your first awareness of a negative attitude. Immediately recall those things that you know to be true, especially about God. Speak them to your soul, out loud if possible. Get into God's Word, read or listen to the Bible, a Christian broadcast, or praise music. Force yourself to praise and worship the Lord, even when you don't feel like it, because you probably won't. Think about and thank the Lord for all of your blessings. Be aware that it might be Satan trying to push you in. If so, fight. If applicable, stop doing whatever is making it worse, like eating and watching TV. Do something productive and God-honoring. During pit times, grab unto Jesus your rope of hope and apply the things just mentioned. During good times, work on your relationship with God. Increase your awareness of His presence. That will prevent many pit experiences. Evaluate your previous times in the pit so you can be proactive, not reactive. Remember how horrible it felt to be in a pit. This will motivate you to do the right things, like getting into God's Word. Usually, my pit experiences are my own doing, when I have shifted my focus off of God and His eternal purpose unto myself. But I think my frequent dark times in 2020 were at least in part God's plan for me. How else can I help other emotional yo-yos get out of their pits? It lines up with my God-given purpose of using my emotionality to help others. I'm in the trenches and sometimes the pits with you, pointing you to Jesus Christ, the living Word and only way out. So, my friends, let us help each other to reduce and redeem our times in the pit. Let's make them count for God's kingdom. More on that next time. As for me, I will always have hope. I will praise you more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteous deeds, of your saving acts all day long. Psalm 70:14-15. How to make the most of your times in the pit. I hate wasting anything, and I hate being in a pit. Don't you? What if we could use these unavoidable times for God's glory? Want to know how to make the most of your times in the pit? This is what the Lord has been teaching me. Cooperate with God as He works it out for good. The Lord wants to use your pit experiences to develop lasting eternal fruit. Knowing that your difficulties are not for naught will prevent you from going deeper and losing hope while you're there. Do some soul searching during and after your downtimes. I know this takes effort. No one likes looking at themselves. So let me give you some really good reasons why you should put out the effort. It leads to greater intimacy with your Savior, enables you to better apply His truths in everyday life, and therefore act more like Jesus. It lessens the frequency and duration of downtimes. It renews your mind. The Holy Spirit will reveal wrong thinking patterns and enable you to replace them with right thinking. A word of caution. Do this soul searching with the Holy Spirit and an open Bible. Otherwise, your emotions or Satan may deceive you. Only the Holy Spirit can lead you into all truth. John 16:33. Here are some suggestions on what you should ponder with the Holy Spirit's direction about your downtimes. How did I get there? What triggered it? Excessive number of trials? Stress? Tiredness? Illness? Greatly offended? Ask what, not why. What can I learn about God from this experience? About myself? What are my tendencies? Is there a pattern? What lies am I believing about myself? About God? What got me out the last time? What gives me hope? What do I know for sure to be true? Ask, is this God's way of getting my attention about an unconfessed sin, disobedience, an unyielding or prideful heart, an unforgiving, angry, or resentful heart, rationalizing or denying sin. The list could go on and on. Again, let the Holy Spirit guide you here. And if you have a tendency to beat yourself up, like I do, be careful not to bring additional and unnecessary guilt upon yourself. Instead, simply admit, that is, confess, repent, that is, desire and resolve to change, accept God's forgiveness, and be restored into a right relationship with Him. See 1 John 1:9. Ask yourself, is there anything God wants me to change? Is this dark time not of my own doing, but due to someone else sinning against me? Satanic attack, like Job. Or because God wants to produce glorious fruit for His kingdom that cannot be accomplished in any other way? Lastly, ask, how might God want to use this? Who's in a similar pit that I can reach out to and encourage? Surprisingly, this Holy Spirit guided evaluation of my extended dark times last year has refreshed and energized my soul. I am more determined than ever to use my spiritual gifts, talents, knowledge, past experiences, personality, makeup, including my emotionality, and even my weaknesses for furthering His glorious kingdom. Personalizing Paul's words in 2 Corinthians 4, all this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, I do not lose heart, though outwardly I am wasting away, yet inwardly I am being renewed day by day. For my light and momentary troubles are achieving for me an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So I fix my eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So, my friends, do you want to make the most of your times in the pit? Then do some soul searching with the Holy Spirit and pray this with me. Lord, help me to use my dark times to become more like Christ, to help others, and to produce eternal fruit for your glory. To help you make the most of your soul searching times, be sure to check out our free resource, How to Self-Evaluate with the Holy Spirit, a 10-step process. You can find this and many other resources to help you grow in your walk with God at heisworthit.com.